Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, 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 and hello again. This is Gregory Clark welcoming you to another edition of the Monday night version of the Couples TV Show. It is a tremendous opportunity to spend this next hour with you. And without further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce my partner, Cheryl Clark.
Hey, everybody. Thank you. Happy Monday to you. Thank you for joining us once again, for giving us this time and your hour and your precious time today. Thank you so much.
Well, as usual, you have the ability to connect with us on Facebook, and you can simply go to our Facebook page for the Couples TV Show, which is this. You can simply go to facebook.com/thecouplesTVshow. Also, you can add our main page, which is facebook.com/Greg and Cheryl Clark. Again, that is Greg and Cheryl Clark. So when you have the opportunity or the time, go to Facebook and link up with us. And also, now you can follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @GregCherylClark without the E at the end. But Greg Cheryl Clark, if you type that in as a handle on Twitter, you'll be able to find us, follow us, and we'll be able to continue to be with you in kind. It's been a tremendous time over this past week. Things are happening, things are moving, things are shaking, and certain things we won't speak because we're just waiting for certain things to come into fruition. But before you know it, it'll be time for you to link up with us on our website, GregAndCherylClark.com. Again, that's GregAndCherylClark.com. It's right now still being worked on. At least we know it's a reality. We just have not published it yet. What do you have to say to that, Cheryl?
Yeah, I'm excited about that, and you're right. It's in the pipeline, which I am happy about. We're really doing some wonderful things in the background, and just wanted to make sure that Greg said, please connect with us on different avenues. If you are a couple and you're working with your spouse, we want to hear from you. If you are in a long-time relationship and you want to have a question, pose us a question, we want to hear from you. Is there anything that you would like to ask us about? We're open books, so we would like to hear from you on all those areas, Facebook, Twitter, on our website. There is a page that you will be able to connect with us and via email. Gregory?
Cheryl? And so now I'm back. And last week we started the first part of our thought, which is simply the 7 secrets for a successful couple. Now, part one was interesting because we went through a couple of things. We went through, you know, just the first two parts because it's a 3-week extravaganza, as we're saying. This is going to be put in other forms of media so people can be edified by this at a later date. But definitely, as we paraphrase and go through the first two quickly before we move on to the next two, one of the very first secrets of a successful couple is to be confident. The husband and wife has to be confident. If you're not confident in yourself, please don't get your spouse in trouble by thinking that they are to make you confident. That confidence has to be within you. It's just like self-esteem. Now, at the same time, as a partner, as a spouse, you are there to undergird and support and to build up your fellow person in that particular order. But at the same time, you have to have a level of confidence within yourself. What do you have to say to that, Char?
Yes, definitely to recap from last week, being confident with your spouse and doing in the conjunction of the relationship, it's unconditional love. It's all about, you know, we come in with faults. You know that we're not perfect, but loving them through the imperfections, building the right foundation for the marriage to stand the test of time and to stand the storms that will come. There's storms that will come. And if you have the foundation and you're confident within your marriage and you're confident within your spouse and you're confident within yourself, then storms may come, winds may blow, but your foundation will be strong enough to stand the winds of time. And that's what being a confident couple and being a confident individual is about. And the next one we went into, so it's the fearless couple. It's very normal to have some type of fear if you're definitely doing something new. It could be very paralyzing. We just gave you different scenarios about that. And we're not going to harp on both of these because if you listen to the first CD, it's really going in depth about how being confident and fearless can basically throw you into success. And those are the first steps of being that. And if you are that, following a plan and having some spiritual foundations in conjunction with going forth with your partner, nothing can stop you but you. Okay?
That's very true. Now, remember, being fearless doesn't mean that you don't walk around and have the ability to be not out. I don't like to say the word careful, just to be mindful. Now, being mindful as a fearless couple allows you to always look at everything that is around you. And as Cheryl stated, you know, if you really want to get real, real in depth, as we went into last week on that first particular part, you have the opportunity to receive that and to be edified by that at that particular time. But without further ado, it is my pleasure to move on to the third part of being a successful couple, out of our seven secrets of a successful couple. And that is, you have to be a person with a positive attitude. Now, as we really break that down, when you really start to look at it from different levels and different principles, you have to understand, nobody wants to be around the sourpuss. No one wants to be around the person who always looks at everything half empty. Oh, we're going to fail. Oh, we're going to do this. Oh, my God, it's not going to work. If you do that within your relationship, you're technically not doing what we asked you to do in the second part, as by being a fearless couple and undergirding and working with each other. Basically, what you're doing is you're the person that's dragging the energy out of the relationship. And on top of that, if you're in business and you expect to be a blessing not only for yourself and to create a legacy, but to be a blessing to others, people don't want to be around anything that's negative. Successful people are not negative. Cheryl, what do you have to say to that?
Well, that's very true. Success and negativity do not mix. That's one thing that's not going to happen. And I always tell a little synopsis of a little story. I remember mixing ammonia and bleach together.
Ooh.
And that's a deadly combination.
Ooh.
Because I remember I mixed the two and inhaled those vapors. It almost sent me to the emergency room. And then if you never realize mixing those two powerful chemicals together, that is poisonous agent.
What?
That is deadly.
It's deadly?
And what can happen is that I remember that we had to all, as a family, stand out in the porch until we all aired out the house.
Mm-mm-mm.
It could be it was a mess. The thing is that you have to realize mixing negative words in your daily life can have deadly consequences to your
soul. Oh, say that again.
Mixing negative words into your daily lives can have deadly consequences.
Uh-oh. To your soul. Deadly.
And to be a successful couple and living with our, we have mix and mingle of spiritual principles that have given us a platform to stand on, is that the power of the tongue is something so, a principle that we live by. Because you want to know you want to think about something that, how you operate is what you think about, what you say. So you want to make sure that you're operating from a place of positivity and not a negative one. So no one can make you say negative words but you. No one or no thing or no situation can make you operate in a negative way but you.
You mean tell me I can't blame you if I'm upset?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
Because the simple reason is you can blame me, but the point is there is no reasoning for you to blame me because if someone has the ability to change your thinking in a negative way or change the way you maneuver or change your atmosphere, then they have a lot of power over you. And that is something with the power of the tongue, and it's a process of thinking that way. It's a process of maneuvering that way. And it's during that, these are all, see, all these steps of a successful couple is a process of how to get to a place where you want to be. If you want to be successful, you got to now come out your box. You have to now be able to come out of a situation where you have to stop thinking negative. I can say that because I was a negative person at one time. You know, no. There was a season in my life where if I had a positive comment to throw out my mouth, and people would be like, you know, they would stop it in track. You mean, I was the reigning queen of mean, okay? I built a wall around me to protect those things, you know, because all I heard growing up with disappointment, people may disappoint me. And so I grew up with having a sharp tongue. And sometimes having a sharp tongue that cuts like a knife, you leave people bleeding. And you don't understand how the power of the tongue can affect people. So one things I had to learn to was get rid of the wall and allow myself to be a conduit of blessings, of blessing others and receiving blessings. That's the only way you're going to receive blessings.
Wow.
Is that you're able to be a conduit to let down your defense, whatever it is. It may be a short tongue, a sharp tongue. If you want a successful marriage, a successful business, a successful family, I had to change my negative attitude into a positive one. That's the only way that that could happen. And the only way that could happen was God intervening. So one of the spiritual principles that I had to learn was, in order for success to be in my life, I had to stop operating from a negative place, to be one with God. You must operate from a positive place. To become positive, because God is, you know, things around you and spiritual things around you and success around you, you have to have an opportunity for it to come. Negativity and success does not live in the same place, right?
It can't survive in the same spot?
That's a cesspool.
Oh, that is.
The negativity is successful.
That is.
The negative words can be deadly. It can be deadly. It could potentially destroy areas of your life. There's power in our tongue. There's power in words that we say. So if I believe that I am never going to be good enough, then I'm never going to be good enough. And the thing is that the thing happened is because that happened in our marriage too, right, Greg?
Yes, it did.
Because there was a time when I used to say negative things to Greg, and Greg used to say negative things to us, and we were on the verge of, you know, going down that road of 50% of the country, divorce. And this is why we're so passionate about this today, of keeping couples together, because it can work. But there's a system that's in place for having that. You have the power to be glad. You have the power to be happy. You have the power. It's a choice that you make. Yes, you can find something today about to be grateful for. Something right this minute you can find great to be grateful for. You should be glad that you have someone that someone is in a worse situation than you are right this minute. So you can find someone to be something to be glad about. You can find someone else to bless. Find something that can make you glad. Think of something good. That should make you glad, Greg.
That's right, because without positive affirmations within yourself, how can you be a blessing to others? And that's one of the things that's always a sticking point with me. You'll hear us go through certain things in repetition, because repetition is the mother of learning. And once you start to understand the process of being positive and having that focus mantra within you, it starts to emanate from you if you allow those things. Now, as my wife stated, there was an infinite time. And the reason why I can say it at that particular moment, it felt infinite, was that we were just being destructive towards each other. And by doing so, you start to understand that you're not only one up another person, but you're actually chiseling a little bit off your own armor as well. So when you start to understand that the building of your own mindset starts within you, and that positivity, that ability to start to flow with things and start to understand that, you know, there's certain steps in your life that are all ordered, but you have to know how to navigate it. You see, if talent can be given to you, and that's part of being positive, if you have particular talents and you don't utilize it, then it may repress into something else, and then people start going into depression and start going, you know, pointing fingers and all that other et cetera, things that do not build a successful relationship. And that success stems from how do you really treat yourself? What is it that you're emanating out of yourself? You cannot look at your partner and get upset with your partner if your partner is happy and bubbly and you want to try to pull them down. If anything, you want to try to figure out what's making them happy. Because if they still, especially if you're that negative person and you still have someone who's willing to be with you and you're still negative, you have to literally find the quickest mirror that's near you, stand in front of it, and start begging for forgiveness to yourself. Because you have an individual who's still attempting to look after you, who wishes to see nothing but positive things to occur for you. So it's the worst thing, and we say this to, and me and Cheryl say this to our children all the time. Like not too long ago, we had a family meeting, and I'll be the first to admit, I can sometimes go into little tangents, and when I really get animated and instructive. But it was something that we had to express to our children. We kept explaining to them, no matter what blessings the universe has put within our hands, we had to also activate it by doing corresponding action. We could not sit on our hands. We could not look to the left. We could not look to the right. We couldn't just pray about it. We couldn't just sit there and assume that it's supposed to happen or it's supposed to be given to us. No. Talent has been given, but you have to actualize it. You actually have to take a time to say, you know what, I believe in myself. I'm positive within myself that I believe in myself, and I'm going to orchestrate what the talent that has been given in me. And the reason why we have to express it to our children, because we thoroughly explain, and I wholeheartedly believe, and if individuals wanted to chime in, this generation seems to be an overall thing. So it's not even something that I'm just focused on our kids. But this entitlement spirit, this spirit of just assuming that things are just supposed to come to them because of the way technology is around, sometimes, not saying that it's a negative, but sometimes it can be a detriment because it doesn't allow you to continue to be in positive. It doesn't. It's as if you don't have something to work for, then you expect everything to be given to you. And then when something is not given to you, it's almost as if you're blowing the thing up. So part of the main reason why we want you to be positive in your relationship is to be as expressive as possible, to be as powerful as possible. There's a power in being glad. Sometimes people don't understand it. There is a natural power just to being glad. And the reason why there's a power in being glad is that you're not sitting there looking, you know, to the left or to the right. You're just allowing yourself just to explore and to be as positive as possible. And one of the things that we start to see is that when people who are upset by certain things around them, that means there's some level of unhappiness within them. So from what we're saying to you today, to anyone who considers themselves negative or may have been negative and wants to build themselves up to the next step and to the next level, remember, you have to turn that frown into a smile. Use less muscles when you smile and laugh. You have to have the ability to be able to crack and joke. And not even that. Being positive also means you understand that you're not perfect and your partner's not perfect. By having that accountability, now you're not sitting there trying to over push what you think in your mentality on your partner. Because by doing so, that becomes a detriment. But we're about being positive here. So as long as that you allow yourself to continue in that power of being glad, that gladness, and allow that choice to resonate in you, and to find something every single, I'm grateful for everything I have. I'm grateful for my wife. I'm even grateful when my kids act up. I'm grateful for everything. Why? Because there's so many other things that could be occurring, that could be happening around you. And not even that. As much as you think that things are may not what they seem, because I don't like to look at stuff from a negative aspect. But there's always better things that can happen, and even better things that could happen. So never look at someone's situation and thumb your nose at it, or express yourself, or to put yourself at a higher level that you cannot navigate with others. Because remember, your success is based upon how you interact with others. So what do you say to that, Cheryl?
Yes, definitely. I totally agree with what Greg was saying, and we're kind of on the same page with this, because what has to happen, you have the power to change it. These series are about, giving you the tools, equipping you with the tools to know what to do. If you are a person that tends to operate in a negative, and I want you to know you have the power to change this, but it's the first thing that you have to do, and it may not be an easy process. In fact, I know that it's not going to be an easy process, because you've been doing this for so long. But it's time for you to take your power back, because each of us was born with that, you know? Each of us, we don't know how our demeanor is going to be when we grow up and be older. But, you know, our life dictates our temperament is going to be, what we're going to be, how we're going to react to certain things. And that's what the type of things that we need to get under control. Now, all people have to do starting this process is about being honest.
Honest with who?
Honest with yourself.
Oh, you mean not honest with your partner?
Honest with yourself.
So I have to be honest with myself before I can be honest to you?
Honest with thyself. Know thyself.
Uh-oh.
But this is a process that's between you and God.
Uh-oh.
It got nothing to do with your husband, your wife, your kids, your mother, your father, nobody.
Wait a minute, nobody can help me?
Nobody. It's between you and God.
Ooh.
And the first decision I want you to make right now, if you don't have your pen and paper out, if you have it out now, get it for a moment, or listen back to this recording. You have this decision right now, today, this minute, right where you are, to be a positive person from this day forth.
Mm.
Say out loud. Make sticky notes. Put them all around your house, workplace, wherever you are. As a reminder, I am a positive person.
I am a positive person.
I am a positive person. I only speak positive words. I only operate in positivity. I have a positive attitude.
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. So you're telling me that if someone who's listening to this recording and listening under the sound of our voices just starts to speak certain positive mantras, that they have the ability to start changing their situation?
Absolutely. And it's going to be three steps that you're going to do for this area.
Ooh.
So one thing that you're going to do is you're going to write it down and make a plan. I feel like you write it down. My husband will tell you, I write down everything. I have little notes. I have journals. I have little things. I'm a writer-downer, girl. I write down everything. I scribble down everything. If I hear something, I write it down.
Scribble, scrabble.
The second thing you need to do is have an accountability partner.
Ooh.
This definitely can be your spouse. Ooh. And I recommend two people to have. The people that love you, make sure that they love you. What is accountability partner, you ask? Is someone that will call you on it when you're being negative.
Wait.
Uh-huh.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me, like, okay, so right now you are my accountability partner, and I need to find at least one other person that loves me.
Mm-hmm.
But that means I can't tell that person, if they catch me being negative, that they're just wrong and they're just trying to beat me up. I'd have to own that.
Own it, because that is the first one. It goes back to number one. They should say, see number one.
Uh-oh.
See number one. Are you being true to thyself?
Uh-oh.
Make a decision.
Ooh.
Go back to your sticky notes that you should have all over the place.
Uh-oh.
Your accountability partner, if you're asking them to be your accountability partner, they're going to check you on this.
Wow.
In fact, if you made a decision that you were going to be there, you shouldn't be offended at them saying that.
Well, wait a minute. I can't get mad at them?
No, because we could tell how we did it, because anytime we Greg and I went through this process with each other, is that we had things that we would say negative words to each other, and we had to
it's
stop.
Yeah.
And even during playing, we stopped. But a simple reason is that it was hurtful at times just to say in playing. I don't even play with him anymore. There was there was a time where we said certain. I don't even say it anymore because it was just. And Greg was like, you know, I don't like you saying that to me. You know, I'm feeling kind of. I'm like, oh, well, I don't mean anything about it. The point is, it's not about what I'm meaning about it. The point is, he got offended. That should be enough for anybody. It should be enough because the point is, you do not want to offend. You don't want to offend your partner, just like you don't want to offend your children, and you don't want to offend those around you. And that's about being a good business person. When you are offensive, do you think they're going to come back to visit your business?
Do they want to speak to you? No.
Absolutely not.
No.
So you want to make sure that what vibes you're giving out is positivity, which leads us into the third step.
Uh-oh.
Putting everything in your life in a positive meaning context.
Wait a minute.
Putting
what do you mean by that?
Everything in your life as a positive meaning context. So God can only do big things in my life. God could do big things in my life. Why? Because I know being pessimistic, becoming an optimistic person, the situation opened doors. Meaning, what do I mean by pessimistic and optimistic? Meaning that you see the glass half full instead of half empty. There's hope in your situation. Speak good things to your situation. Do not speak bad or ill about your children. Why would you speak bad or ill about your spouse or your child? I don't get it. We run a two daycare facilities, and we sometimes have parenting classes. And the thing is, we talk to them about the great interaction about building a good confidence in a child starts at home. But if you constantly call the child stupid, dumb, and ignorant, and all these negative things, what do you think is going to happen? Your child's going to grow up without confidence, Greg.
And it goes back to what Cheryl is stating. We have seen over the years, which becomes a detriment. Think of it this way. And my background's in education, so I can also speak on it from that point. How would you feel if you had a job where you had people working with you or working under you? And they come in every day, and they hear from their spouses or their significant others, you're nothing, you're this, you're not that. And then they coming into work, and you're ready to lead them or show them something new that's going to help with productivity, but they always got this, you know, down look, or they feel like they've been beaten up. That references back to children, and that goes back to being a positive individual. Now, and we understand that life has many tributaries. Everyone's walk is not the same walk. That's why
mm-hmm.
we respect all paths.
Yes.
But within that, you also have to understand that there's a responsibility that you have to sow the right seeds into individuals for you to reap something of a tremendous benefit. Your children. We run our household, before I even say the point about our children, we run our household like a business. Everybody has numbers. Everyone has some level of productivity that has to be accounted for in order for you to be blessed. Your blessings are based on it, and it's just very true. You cannot sit there and assume that if you're speaking negative words into your children's lives and then you send them on their way to school or wherever form of education that they're being educated by others, because remember, the first teacher is the parent. So you're sending them outside to outside teachers with the negative imprint that you put within them. You're not setting them up for success. You can't even get upset if they go to the school technically and act a fool, because mm-hmm. now they're acting a fool based upon the atmosphere that you had created
mm-hmm.
within the first environment that they learned from.
Yes.
So now our whole thought pattern, as we're stating to you, and we will keep reiterating it, you'll probably hear us, it'll probably slip in other, you know, recordings and things like that, but remember what you're sowing into. If you're sowing, if you know that you created something, sow something good into it. Give it the proper foundation. Be positive. There's nothing wrong with a smile. There's nothing wrong with just walking by and at least checking in to say, you know, we want to just see how your day is going. Where are you going? How can we assist and make sure that they get to the next steps in life? And that just leads us as is a great segue, because that leads right into the fourth secret of a successful couple, and that is by being a forgiver. Now, the reason why I'm going to start this part off, because I remember, and I can admit, I'm the one that's hard to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, when you speak it plain, and I don't look at it as a negative trait. It's something that is in my dynamic makeup. But within that dynamic makeup, just because you have certain particulars of yourself that may not be at the highest level, that doesn't mean that you still do not work with them. But yes, there was a point in time that I was not the forgiver. And one of the things that, and it kind of held us back for a season, because I would start rehashing things. And I keep staying in the same muck and mire because, you know, this person did that to me. Or that person did this to me. And you know what? I'm very happy that I did have a partner who at least had the ability at those times where even that she was allowing me to wallow in my mess, after a while, she had to wake up and shake me and be like, we're not staying here. You're not staying here. Whatever crap or stuff that happened over there, that happened over here. Now you have to continue to move forward. So now, before I'm passing on to Cheryl to add her piece, being a forgiver also heals your soul.
Say that again.
Being a forgiver also heals your soul. It actually starts to help you relieve tension and the stuff that you hold on to. Some of us who are obese, and I can say it because I'm a big dude and I have no problem with being big, but some of us, a lot of the stuff that we hold on to, it translates back into our body.
Yes.
And we're wondering why we look in a particular way or why this particular thing, just you lost 10 pounds, but it just didn't lose 10. You didn't lose no weight in that particular area. What are you holding on to? What haven't you forgiven? Who haven't you forgiven? Who are you still worrying about who's probably moved on, but you're still holding on to something? And with that, the extra things that are accumulating either inside of your temple or outside of your temple. Be a forgiver. Cheryl?
That was great, Greg. And, you know, I really have to say, releasing the past can really catapult you as an individual, and if you're married, as couples, into success. Living in the shoulda, coulda, woulda land, I should have been this, I could have been that, I would have been there, I could have did this. If you always look it in the rearview mirror in life, feeling like you missed an opportunity, it will hinder your future. Living in the past sounds a little like this. I would be happy if I only had, or if I had only done that. Or I would be further along if my life looked a little like this. You become stuck in the past, which limits you from living in the present.
Mm.
And you living in in a state of regret constantly, you're sabotaging your success. And that only, like Greg said, brings on depression, brings on shame, sadness, and misfortune usually happens. So what needs to happen, this pity party that we're having for ourselves happens often in couple lives, in our individual lives. We need to stop showing up for that party. And remember when you said, or remember what you did, and that's a lot of times in the couples, remember when you said that to me? And remember when you did this to me? It's like carrying bags of trash over and over and over, and after a while it begins to stink.
Wait a minute, but I thought going to parties is a nice thing.
Not a pity party.
Oh, man.
Not a pity party, and we saw that. So I want you to close your eyes right now and imagine how many years you've been in a relationship with your spouse or whatever the case may be. And for us, it'll be 20 years married and 19 years married and about 25 years together.
Jesus.
Imagine all the memories of in your marriage of all the things and the and just add, if it's 10 years you've been married, add 10 bags of garbage. And if it's 10 and 10, look it together, that's 20 bags of garbage. Remember when you did, or remember when you said, and when you engaged in an argument, you tend to dig back in your stinky bag of garbage, the crumpled up pieces of paper that you wrote on or you scribbled on. Remember, I was a little scribbler. And then you want to pick a fight, and then you pick out something that happened 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and you want to bring that up.
Remember when you didn't take me to the movies on that Friday night?
And or remember when you called me this, or remember when you did this to me, or remember when you left me, or whatever. You cannot redo the past or your past decisions. And your past decisions, you have to understand they're not mistakes. There are lessons to educate you
for
your future.
Again.
We cannot redo the past. And your past decisions are never mistakes. They are not mistakes. They are lessons to educate you for your future.
Very good.
And every day, you and your spouse have to make a decision to do a fresh start. When you wake up every single day, today is a fresh start for us. This is how you do this process. This is how you forgive the past and stop living in the past. If you are currently living in the past, you need to start by, especially if you have 20 bags of stinky garbage that you're carrying around. You can move forward in your marriage, in your relationship today. This is why 50% of the couples and marriages go south and end in divorce. Families are being destroyed. Don't let little distractions cheat you out of your success. Because we're not able to move on, and we're living in the rearview mirror of the past. Greg?
Oh, my goodness. But now, see, when you start to really think about that, how much stuff we hold on to and the things that we want to place blame on other individuals or other entities, or my boss this, my business partner that, my wife, my husband, my boyfriend, my partner, my this, my that. And you know what? It's so crazy. It's just an old adage. As many fingers that you attempt to point, and you're saying it's you. How many fingers, when you really check it out, when you're pointing your finger at someone, look at how many fingers are just naturally pointing back at you. Sometimes you have to allow yourself the unction within your function, man enough or woman enough to say, you know what, a lot of this crap is because of me. By breaking it down. A lot of this stuff that's stinking is because of me. You may be the neatest person in the world. I know, like how my wife says, I have a thing with having stuff in order. And like now, even as I'm speaking, I see like certain things are out of order, and I know it's because of my own navigation at this particular moment, and it disturbs me. But I can't put that disturbment on my wife because it has nothing to do with her. Because now I'm trying to assume something upon her which is wrong. But see, that's part of the baggage. That's my process. That's my thought. That's my level of stuff. And I cannot expect my wife to clean up my stuff. Same way that I can't expect my wife to clean up my stuff. The same way that anyone who's on the sound of our voice on this recorder has to understand. Don't expect your spouse to be cleaning up your stuff.
And let me just say this, Greg. You know what? We're married. But the thing is that when he was in his part where he was unforgiving someone or something that has happened in his life, the point is that when that happens to you and you can recognize it, he did the work. I cannot force anyone. You can, like, you ever hold that old age adage, you could bring a horse to water, you cannot make them drink it. He had to realize there were things there were things that happened to me, and I had to forgive things. However, his was more deeper in how he processed things that people have done for him or done to him. He had to learn to how that he can now the process of changing his thought pattern about that individual, the person, and the situation. And it comes through the process of getting rid of stinking thinking. How we interact is this is success. Is he cannot? It was he was the sabotaging his own success. We did not see success. He didn't see success individually until he started to really start to melt some of the things that he could move forward in. And with myself at that, and with that too, it was process. It's a process. And no one could take that from you when someone sees your light. When he enters the room, Greg brings a light. When I enter the room, I bring my own light, and we shine brighter when we're together. But we also shine bright when we're apart. Because for the simple reason is that I'm my own light, he's his own light, but when we come together, we are a constellation. Especially when we have our kids. Oh, my goodness. We are definitely a constellation. And I could say that. We shine bright because we put in the work, and it's our daily work. Every time we wake up, we have a fresh start. We do not go to bed angry anymore, and that used to be our thing. I'm not talking to you. You ain't talking to me. Not a problem, dude.
Whatever.
Greg?
Yeah, but you, that just brought me back to some crazy memories from early in our relationship. But when you start to understand that you have to, the main understanding comes from we all grow. We all have to adapt to the circumstances that are around us. And the reason why I say that, because you have to be a person who respects and understands change. My wife is not the same individual I met so many years ago. I am not that same individual that she met so many years ago. And sometimes we get caught up in saying that, I hear people all the time, I try to do all the things I did when I first met that person. The spirit of what you did should always be paramount. But the actual tangible things that might occur will change naturally. And what sometimes we can get caught up in and then end up not forgiving, when we were dating, he would always buy me a dozen roses every week. Now all of a sudden, you've been married 15 years, and the dozen roses becomes one rose a week. He's still acknowledging the thought is still there, but it's not as plentiful in, how's the best way to say it? In its display, but the sentiment is still there, and then that becomes an argument. And you're sitting there like, wait a minute, but he's still acknowledging the fact that you're his flower, that you're his rose. Now, he used to give me a dozen roses. oh, wait a minute. Okay, now we have to start working on you. Because it's not necessarily, even though we can see that the men, and then we can flip it on the other side. When men would say, oh, when I was dating her, her hair was tight, you know, especially those, whoever wants to say, you know, she always dressed a certain way, and now all of a sudden, when we go to bed, she got on sweatsuits, or she got on her hair wrapped up and all this other stuff. Wait a minute, time out. But you're in the same bed. A navigate, there has been time. There are things that she's not going to be that same individual that you think is supposed to drop it like it's hot every 5 seconds. It doesn't work that way. And if that's what you're in the relationship for, and you're not forgiving her, or actually have the mindset to understand to be more of an adult, and you've moved on and you've grown and you've become accustomed to that sentiment is always there, but sometimes we try to blame the partner or blame the other to say, oh, you don't do stuff like this or don't do stuff like that. And it's not about that. As long as the sentiment, the spirit of the thing is still there, if the spirit of the thing is resonating, remember, you cannot see the spirit of the thing. Just because you don't see the spirit of the thing doesn't mean the thing is not there. And as Cheryl and myself have talked about, the reason why a lot of you relationships die off and don't become successful or don't work these secrets, because at times y'all are selfish. Keep it real. You're selfish. You want to blame the other person. You want to blame that one. You end up in divorce, and next you know, God forbid if there's kids involved. Now you're putting other entities in the middle of your mess because either one or both of you are selfish. And that selfishness stems from not forgiving or not allowing your thought pattern to say, you know what, I remember when he used to give me a dozen roses. But he still has the ability and he still has the respect for our love and the respect of our covenant to be like, you know what, at this particular point, a dozen roses may not make sense because of whatever the situation is at hand, but I still want to acknowledge it. So I make sure, if I know I can't get a dozen, I'm going to get at least that one rose a week. So at least she may not get 12 times 52, but she's going to get at least one times 52 because I still feel for her in that way. And same thing on the men. If you feel your wife was doing certain things when you were dating and this, that, another, and da, 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 okay. You met her like that. There's times where things are going to augment, change. Bodies start changing. Children get involved. Don't sit there and try to hold her up to a testament before all the things that life starts to occur that you built together in. And that's where my wife made a great point about the baggage. Sometimes that baggage that we just keep pulling and holding on to and thinking that it's a weight that we're pumping iron with, and it's not. It's something that just becomes dead weight. And it's interesting, like when you see fat and muscle, muscle's heavier, but it has a structure to it, mm-hmm. that you can sit there and be like, you know what, there's something that's binding this thing together. And then when you look at the fat, you're looking at it, it just goes wherever. It almost like it wants to mimic water. Like whatever this form you put it in is going to mimic it. That's where the forgiving process, that's where people sometimes have to understand, are you muscle or are you just fat? Because I'd rather deal with muscle because that muscle's stronger. There's a firmer foundation. There's a firmer understanding that you're not sitting there trying to push the buttons or point the fingers or not allowing the situations that are at hand to start to stink, as my wife stated. But when it's just fat, and you put fat out there, all of a sudden it starts to burn up. It goes away. Let me backtrack. It doesn't go away. It just sits there, just taking up form. There's no strength to it. It's just there taking up space. And that's where you do not want to be the fat. F-A-T, when it comes to the lack of forgiving, the lack of responsibility, the lack of holding on to stuff that don't mean you any good. Successful couples have the ability to be like successful couples argue. Successful couples will have disagreements. Don't get it twisted. Successful couples, one person's going to have their viewpoint, the other one's going to have theirs. Got you. That's why you're together. Because if everybody was just only a myriad of okay, I'm just only going to deal with all the people that think like me, I know I couldn't deal with someone like me. If I was married to them. I know that. Because it'll be like a war to road. If, for those of you who've seen that great movie back in the days, and if you've seen the movie, you saw how it ended up, The War of the Roses. And if you know that movie, you know how it ended up. Why? Because those are two individuals that were too much alike. And it became, as we stated before, it became too much of a competition.
Mm.
It wasn't a completion. It became competition. It gets to the point like, okay, who's going to one up the other? And next thing you know, you end up losing it all. Because ultimately, it's not about me trying to be better than my wife. If anything, I'm here to complete her. And it's not for my wife to try to supersede or oversee me. It's her here to be that missing rib that was taken from me. And when you start going through that mindset of understanding, and we've said this before in different recordings, and it's going to be a running theme, but when you start to understand where your strengths, and I don't like to call them, I'll call them your mini strengths instead of just focusing on weakness, but the things that you may not be as strong in, the things that you're bright in, usually, if you're in the relationship properly, the things that you may be lacking or not as bright in, the other person has. And the things that person may not be as strong in, you have. So, under the sound of our voice, especially as we're telling you that you have the ability. Yes, we're telling you. We're not asking you. We're not, you know, placating to you. No, we're telling you that you have the ability to be a successful couple. But you have to do the work. You have to push the envelope. You have to be able to forgive. You have to be positive. You have to be all the stuff. Yeah, and not only just positive to your spouse and then be negative to your kids. Remember, those are creations of the union.
Yeah.
So now, when we're talking about forgiving and being positive and all this other stuff, when we say couple, don't think that we're just negating the kids.
And not only that, even if you're not with your significant other or the person that you had a child with, when you come together and how you tear down the other one in front of them, because there's a lot of blended families out there
mm-hmm.
that has, you know, got remarried or not with their child's father or not with their child's mother, and you tend to tear down their parent, you're also tearing down the child. That is their parent. I came from a place where that was. Greg and I both, you know, well, I'm more of a single-parent household where I did not know my father. And the point is, what I can say, what my mother never did was tear down my father, and I've never met him a day in my life. But one thing she never did was she never tear him down. But because I came from him, if it wasn't for him, I would not be here. When you sit there and you talk negative towards their parent, you are a union. There is something about him. I don't care if it's a one-night stand. If you had that child, something beautiful came out of it. Something beautiful came out of it. Children are from gifts of God. They're gifts. They're spiritual gifts to us that we have the responsibility for. And what I have to say, we're going to start to close this now, is the two things today to take away from today is take back your power. Take back your power. Be a person that is a positive person, that you let your light shine. Start the process today. First thing, make a decision right now where you are to be a positive person. Second, get an accountability partner. I don't care who it is. Get an accountability partner, and I recommend two. Third, put everything in your meaning and context of your life together. Be a positive, be a person that's optimistic. See the glass half full instead of half empty. And then the fourth one was be a forgiver. Stop looking in the back room mirror. The shoulda, coulda, woulda land. Get out of there. Stop burning up your garbage daily. Know that when you breathe life tomorrow, if you wake up tomorrow, you have a new fresh start of life. Individually, if you're married, you have a new start with your spouse, a new start with your daughter, your son, your mother, family members, your boss, your job, whatever it is, your clientele. You have to start doing that. Stop letting distractions cheat you out of your success. You are designed to be successful. Your union is designed to be successful. Your family is designed to be successful. Your family is designed to be successful. It's up to you to make the choice to say, I'm going to stop showing up for my pity party and start showing up to be positive. Greg?
Oh, that is great. And that is great. Well, as Cheryl stated, our time is almost up for this particular recording time. But you always have the ample opportunity to visit us at gregandcherylclark.com. That would be always a resource where you can follow our blogs, things of interest, and things that we're here to be as much more of edification than it is about knocking. There's too many things out there that try to destroy marriage or destroy the thought of being at one with someone else and building something that lasts. And one of the things here at between myself and Cheryl, we're not about that. We're here to build you up. And so at the same time, remember Greg and Cheryl Clark with an E.com was a definite resource for you. On top of that, you can always follow us on Facebook, our social media platforms, facebook.com/ Greg and Cheryl Clark. And definitely for the Couples TV Show, it's facebook.com/ The Couples TV Show. And also you have the ability to follow us on Twitter at Greg Cheryl Clark without the E. Again, our handle on Twitter is Greg Cheryl Clark without the E, that's C-L-A-R-K. And, you know, just take the opportunity to follow us on Twitter and, you know, just follow our posts, especially if you've been able to follow us. We're always posting and always sharing something. We're all about building, and building. There's been enough tearing down. No more tearing down. And once you start to understand, as Cheryl stated, once you start to understand, especially when it comes to the next generation, the children that you produce, regardless of whatever the situations may at hand, our thought is to try to help you build it to be sustainable and to stay together. Now, if it ever gets to the point that it's not feasible, then as Cheryl stated, there are ways that you can co-parent and become still a positive light for those lives or life that you produce on this plane. So until next week, where we have some more great times, where we'll definitely be completing the 7 secrets of a successful couple, because we're going to keep it, we'll keep our word. So definitely, we will definitely be completing the 7 secrets of a successful couple and all the other things that you may hear about that we may be involved in. Certain things we're going to keep to our vest, because we're going to just wait till it pops out and happens so you can see and believe. Right, Cheryl?
Yes. We have some great things. Please contact us on Facebook, Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions, inbox us. We get right back to you. We're always just a click away. Thank you for joining us on this Monday night, and we'll see you next week.
And as always, it's always a blessing to breathe life daily. Remember that mantra, breathe life daily. We've given you some cool tools, and next week we'll complete this particular arc. But remember, breathe life daily, and your number one business and relationship coaches are Greg and Cheryl Clark. So until next week, we expect to see everyone join us for part 3, and wait till as we continue to be a blessing unto you as you've been a blessing unto us. See you next week. And now we shall see you a little later. Be blessed, breathe life daily. Peace.